What's going on, everybody, man? I hope y'all guys are having a great Tuesday morning. I wanted to create this episode. I have been doing a lot of videos recently. I just haven't uploaded them onto my podcast, but I've done a lot of like Kyrie reaction to, Chelsea spent a lot of money, things like that. I've been doing a lot of videos on TikTok and upload them to YouTube and obviously TikTok. So yeah, I want to do a quick episode, stay consistent with y'all, give my thoughts here on the podcast as well. Thank y'all for running it up. Yesterday I saw it went way up, the amount of listeners and viewers. So I just want to say I appreciate y'all for always tuning in, man. It's important. So I'll make this one quick. I ain't gonna do no more than 10, 15 minutes, of this episode. Essentially, I'm just gonna be reacting to game I seen yesterday, the Kyrie news. And I guess I could talk about my Super Bowl pick as well. I'm gonna do a video on that later this week, but I guess I could have a quick Super Bowl pick. I'll probably give more analysis on the video. But let's start with the game I seen last night. A very entertaining game. It was the number one. This is a high school game in Georgia. Newton versus Wheeler. Really entertaining game. The pace was very fast, I could say. I wanted to go in person, but had something come up. But yeah, Isaiah Collier, I mean, he's the real deal. Number one overall in 24/7 Sports. I think he's number three in ESPN 100 rankings. But he's number one in Rivals as well. But very good athlete, quick with the basketball, drive to the paint. He's really, really good. And I think he does plays the game the right way, and things like that. And once he gets ahead of steam, I mean, it's over. Once he gets downhill, he's tough to defend, honestly. So that's what he showed me last night. He's tough to defend. All right, y'all, back to what I was saying. But yes, he showed great athleticism. I thought he has a great handle. Carter does. He can break double teams. He has great playmaking ability. Gets others involved. Makes teammates around him better. And that's what you want to see out of one of the top players. And he's a three-level scorer. He can hit you with mid-range. He was hitting a deep shot last night, and he can go to the paint and really finish with relative ease. So, he's a player that stood out to me. Obviously, I think he's probably up there with the number one player in the country. And then coming to the game, I did a boys game of the week. You guys can go to scoretl.com where I talked about, I think one of the things to look out for besides the backcourt matchup was the paint. I didn't feel like Newton had a, like a paint beast or somebody that could really cause problems for Arrington Page, who's also going to USC with Collier. And he really dominated them on the boards. They were able to get second chance opportunities. He's pushing the break. Page was getting the ball out quick, and when he got the chance in the paint, he was dominating inside, and I thought that was one of the key advantages for them. So that made the difference. And obviously, just Jelani Hamilton, he's another player that doesn't put so much pressure on Collier, obviously at 27/7, but Hamilton can shoot the ball well. He can score, he can facilitate, he can slash to the rim. He's another player that makes that Willis team so good out there in 7A. It made it really difficult, obviously, for Newton, because they didn't have a lot of answers, because he's another player that can score. So you try to put all the attention on Collier, but they have other players that can hurt you as well, and he kind of takes that pressure off of Collier too, I think. So that's what stood out to me in that game, obviously with Wheeler. Looking at Newton, I thought Castle did a good job. I thought, they had a lot of open shots, but they weren't nailing anything. So for me, the concern going forward for Newton is obviously the 3-point shooting. They shot it terribly. I'm not sure they made many threes in that game, maybe one or two, but they couldn't. They were getting open shots. They could not nail their threes. Now that could have just been the game, how it went, how it flowed, but I feel like they didn't. They couldn't knock down shots. They couldn't knock down perimeter shots, and that's something you need going into the postseason and in the playoffs and the region tournaments and things like that. So that they struggle with that. But I thought Castle had a pretty good game. He guarded at spurts. He guarded Collier. Other spurts, they played zone and stuff. But I felt like Willer was able to take advantage of their zone and really, make it tough on them defensively. And you saw that all night long, really. That stood out to me. And then Ja'Kai Newton, a guy that had, I think, a torn meniscus, out 7 months, just his second game back. I mean, he showed you why he's going to Indiana. Four star. He's really good. He's a really good good player that complements, I think, Stephon Castle well. He can create his own shot. He could facilitate. He was making big plays, steals, going at Arrington Page in the paint. He's really a difference maker, although he didn't score 15, but second game back, you could see he was getting back into the flow of things, and you see what he can mean to the team. So I think he's going to be a player, obviously, it's going to help them out going forward, kind of playing off of Castle. And obviously the other player, MJ, I think his name MJ Brooks, he had a good game as well, playing off those three. So it just feels like Newton's more guard oriented, and you know the paint could be an area where it could hurt them, especially in 7-8 basketball. You know, if you can't guard that paint and it's giving you problems, and you know that's going to make the difference. And the transition defense wasn't very good. It seemed like once Wheeler or Collier or Hamilton was able to get a kind of a head of steam, they couldn't really slow them down in transition. They was able to get to the cup with will and with ease. So that's what stood out to me in that game. But I thought it was a great game. It was on ESPNU. It was exciting to watch, honestly. I wish I'd went to the game, but it was exciting to watch. I think 7-8 basketball this year is going to be great, especially come playoff time. Region tournaments around the corner. I think it's two regular season games left. But yeah, it's going to be exceptional. I can't wait to see it. You know, you got to look out for McEachran, Pebblebrook, obviously, Wheeler, Newton, Norcross. So it's going to be a really good 7-8, you know, tournament in you know, when the state playoffs jump around. So I definitely wanted to bring that up. But very exciting game. See why both players are excellent. And they are both also McDonald's All-American. So they'll be playing the game March 28th in Houston. I believe that'll be televised on ESPN. But just, you know, great honor for both of those boys. And obviously, Stephon Castle is going to UConn. And then Collier's going to USC. But it was just a great game to watch for sure. Keeping it going, my thoughts on the Kyrie situation. It's tough. I know Durant has to be thinking like, you know, regardless, I don't know what happened internally. Only they know. Some of the stuff Kyrie did, I do understand. But I guess, you know, those stipulations and the contracts and things like that, he didn't really get along with the owner, Josiah, a lot. So that just really made the difference in the team. You know, KD left them, left Golden State, you know, a couple years ago, and really doesn't have a lot to show for it. So that's what they're going to, you know, put on his legacy. We'll see if he'd be traded in the coming days. Trade deadline is Thursday, I think, at 3 p.m. But it's tough. You have to, like, KD has to be looking back and like, did I really make the right decision for me? Did I make the right decision leaving Golden State and, you know, coming to Brooklyn? Because, you know, obviously he wanted to prove himself more and say and get that, you know, that mutual respect. But it's just tough. It's a tough situation. Obviously, the question mark is going to be for Dallas. You know, two ball dominant guards. You know, obviously Kyrie's shown he can play off the ball. But you know, well, is Luka willing to sacrifice some as well? I mean, obviously he's going to have the help when he goes out the game. He's going to have a prolific scorer in the game to be able to get buckets and score baskets and points and play make as well and facilitate. But the key thing is together. Can they? How well will it mesh? How well will it look? Obviously, Buffett's going to be tough defensively. You know, guarding backcourts and things like that. But, you know, you have to like the chances in a wide open West. There's not really any dominant teams. Obviously, Nuggets are looking good this year, the number one seed. But, you know, Memphis is the two seed, but they've lost like 9 of their last 10. So the West is wide open. It's not really any dominant teams like how it usually is. Same thing with the East. I mean, East, you got like a top four. You got, you know, Brooklyn. Well, not Brooklyn. You got the Sixers. You got the Celtics. You got the Bucks, you know, those are like kind of your top three to look out for. Brooklyn was in that conversation too, but after the trade to of Kyrie, it's kind of tough to see unless they pull off another trade and get some more pieces. They did do good. I will say this, Brooklyn did good at getting some depth pieces for the team. But you know, obviously KD requested a trade earlier in the summer, so it'd be interesting to see how that all plays out. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, man, it's tough to say. But I feel like they got some good depth pieces, and I like Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas has put up back-to-back 40-point nights, first player since LeBron to, you know, accomplish that feat. And we know all of what LeBron has accomplished and what he's about to accomplish, being an all-time leading scorer. So I think he's a good piece to build around. Obviously, Cam Thomas, he shows what he can do with the ball in his hands. He's dynamic. He you know, creates pressure on defenses. I mean, that's another scorer. I feel like young, you can kind of pair that with KD and be dangerous offensively. The big question mark for the Nets is obviously Ben Simmons. Right now, it's, you know, rumored that he doesn't have a lot of trade value in the NBA, so that's tough. But overall, I mean, you know, it got that big left, big lofty contract from him that's still on the books for Brooklyn when they traded for him. But a lot of people feel like they're not getting the right value out of Ben Simmons, so it's tough to say what's going to happen with Brooklyn. You gotta always give him a shot, obviously with KD, but it's tough to say, especially with them trading Kyrie Irving. But we'll see how it manifests and how it goes down the line. It'll be really interesting. And also, I know I said I was gonna talk about football, but that's my thoughts on the trade with Kyrie Irving, which I am. But I'm gonna throw in the other sports, soccer or you know football to most people worldwide. I think it's interesting actually. This is a Premier League news. Man City right now in a lot of trouble. They're being accused by Premier League for financial I guess you say dishonesty, and they are in some major trouble. They can be relegated. They can be fined. They can get point deductions. Just basically a financial mishap is what they're saying from 2009 to 2018, and also UEFA regulations. If you don't know what UEFA is, United European, gosh, I can't think of it. I think it's I know it's a competition. Basically, it's the top teams in Europe that go top four of your table. So it'll be like Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, France, League One. It'll be all those leagues in the one, and then the top teams that land top four on the table, they'll play in a tournament, and then they'll have a group stage and everything, and then they'll have a round of 16, and then it goes to the champion. So, as y'all know, Man City won last year the Premier League overall. So, this year they were right back in contention at the two seed. But it'll be interesting to see because Pep Guardiola already said that if they have any things where they lied to him or any financial issues, that he's going to leave the team and be done. So it'll be interesting to see if they get accused. He's probably out, and he's as you all know, he's an excellent manager. For them, but that's going to be tough, especially with all the pieces they have and all the great players. Losing out potentially or even getting relegated. So I think that's big financial news out there in the Premier League. We'll see how what comes of it, what will happen, but they are in some big trouble right now. And that's definitely going to, I think, pay a toll of a team that's really competitive. They're going to be in the round of 16 for UEFA and for the tournament. And obviously they're trying to get a number one and be crowned champions in the Premier League this year. They're competing with Arsenal, and obviously Man United is right up under them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but that's my thoughts on that. That's definitely a tough predicament and situation to be in. So we'll see if they're convicted. If they are, it could be a problem. But let's keep it going. I'm going to conclude this episode, obviously, with Super Bowl picks and obviously some matchups to look out for. I think first and foremost, just to analyze the matchups real quick, how healthy is Patrick Mahomes? How will he be able to do some of the great things he did against the Bengals? Obviously, him being able to run on that messed up ankle. Just shows how great he is. I'm not gonna go as far as what people are saying. Oh, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer already. I can't go that far. Mahomes, I seen a stat yesterday that said in the Super Bowls he has two touchdowns and four interceptions. So I'm not gonna just anoint him the a first ballot Hall of Famer. I need to see more. I do. I need to see more from Mahomes. I haven't seen enough yet. That's not saying he's not great. He is a five-time. He's been to the AFC Championship game five times. It's his third Super Bowl appearance. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not taking anything away from Mahomes. He's a phenomenal player. But first ballot Hall of Famer, like, I can't throw that out there. That is something different. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's not different, but I need to see more, you know what I'm saying, before I can say that. Does he have the trajectory to be a Hall of Famer? For sure. Easily. But first ballot, I'm not gonna go that far. And then two, so how healthy is against that defense of the Eagles? I think the other part is going to be the offensive line, obviously, right? So you got, their great offensive line against a really great defensive line for the Eagles that has 70 sacks this season, third most in NFL history. They could beat you with their front four. It'd be interesting to see if Jonathan Gannon throws any blitzes out there. To try to switch things up. But I think they're going to do what they did against the Bengals. Get the ball up, ball out early, fast, and often. So watch with the zones. You'll probably see Kelce, be in the middle of the field a lot. If Eagles run the cover two, it's going to be definitely tough for them. I think they're going to exploit it. I think they're going to exploit it. If they run cover two, Kelce in the middle of the field, they're going to kill it. So Eagles gonna have to do a good job switching their coverages, running different things at Mahomes. Cover twos, cover threes, cover fours. Saying some zone blitzes, things like that. They're gonna have to throw different things at them. And get home with the front four, which I think they can. It's a really great group. We'll see obviously what happens there. So that's another matchup. And obviously, like I said, with the coverages, and Mahomes, how are they going to attack Mahomes defensively? Other side of the ball, I think Philly needs to play ball control. Obviously, that's the matchup to look out for. How will Philly look against the Chiefs defense? They're rookies that have stepped up. Cook, Trent McDuffie from Washington. A lot of young players in that secondary, but they stepped up big. Can they create pressure like they did against Cincinnati? This is a way better offensive line. You got three, I think, all pros on there. You got Landon Dickerson. You got Jason Kelce. You got Lane Johnson. So you got some studs. So it'd be interesting to see if Jones, if Willie Gay, if Frank Clark can get pressure like they did against the Bengals, who did have backups, but they create a lot of pressure and it made it tough for Burrow to ever feel comfortable in that game. So that's something to look out for as well. And then for Philly, I feel like, ball control is going to be crucial and important for them. Going on long, methodical drives, what they've shown they can do, running the football, letting that build off their play action, hitting in the deep shots. So when they're there with A.J. Brown and obviously DeVonta Smith, all that is going to play a factor. All of that is going to be very, very, very important. So that's going to be the key. And then, obviously I said the pressure, offensive line versus defensive line, can Chiefs create any pressure? And can their defense did what they did against the Bengals? Can they create turnovers? That's going to be crucial for the Chiefs. Creating turnovers from Hurts, making him have a bad game, not being on his A game. They did that against Burrow in that game for once. Can they do the same thing against, obviously, Jalen Hurts? That's going to be, I think, the key factors in this game to watch out for. And we'll see. My Super Bowl pick is going to be Philly. I think they're favoring this game by 1.5 points. Chiefs just have a lot of weapons missing. That's something else to look out for. Obviously, Mecole Hardman being sent back to IR with a pelvic injury. And then you got we'll see if Marquez Valdes-Scantling plays. No, he will play. He didn't get hurt. It was a Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney got hurt. We'll see if he plays, but he lost a lot of skill positions. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get all that together and obviously play. So that's another key thing too. But yeah, I'm gonna go Philly. I think Philly wins a good game. I think they're gonna win by 7. I think it's gonna be a back and forth. I think both teams gonna lay it on the line, but I think I'm gonna give the edge to Philly in this one. I think they have a great team. I think all the pieces they have together. I think if they run the right coverage defensively with Darius Slay and James Bradbury, make Kansas City beat them in man, because they have the talent with the secondary in order to just kind of run that coverage, make them beat you. Besides, I mean, the only person I would double team is Kelce. Besides him, make the other ones beat you. That would be my game plan defensively. But I think Philly by 7. I think they're gonna run the ball well. I think they're gonna be ball control. And I think Philly's gonna win their second Super Bowl in 5 years. And that'll be a great feat for them and a great job by Howie Roseman, getting the pieces they needed in order to win. And everybody says, oh, well, they got all the pieces in free agency. Go back and look at all the players they have, besides a couple that they got in trades, Hassan Reddick, CJ Gardner-Johnson, AJ Brown, the rest are from the draft. Jalen Hurts drafted. Miles Sanders drafted. Lane Johnson drafted. Jason Kelce drafted. Kenneth Gainwell drafted. Dallas Goedert drafted. So a lot of their team has come from draft picks, not just picking up free agents. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But that's all I got for you guys today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, forgive me, last week was a busy week for me. I did do a bunch of videos, so I'm gonna link those below. Go tune in, check out my YouTube page, definitely go subscribe. I'm gonna have content every single week, and go to my website, sportstalkwithnodge.com. Again, we'll have content on the website every week, talking about different things happening in the sports, giving my thoughts, my reactions, and my opinions. So definitely tune into those social handles and my TikTok as well. That's another one I'm very active on, at Najee Wilk. I'll link everything down below, but I have all my content on there. And like I said, I'll have new videos every single week, and obviously a new episode podcast I'm gonna try to do every week as well. So I hope you guys liked and enjoyed. I'll see you guys soon. You guys have a blessed week, and I'll see you guys in the next video or the next podcast. Peace.